him and those kids singing about the wonderful miracle working of God. And he put on a song and he said, I just love this song, The Goodness of God. Oh, we need to focus on the goodness of God. We need to remind ourselves that he is good and he is loving and his truth endures forever. And I was just so blessed that night to hear all those kids on the way home just singing out the song, just declaring the goodness of God, the power of God, the miracles of God. You see, there's something so powerful when we step in and we begin to declare those things and speak those things out. And he is good. And he longs to show you his power and his truth today. And so I'm grateful that we have the word that we can go to and that we can be encouraged and we can be built up. And that's my prayer for you this morning, is that God's word would encourage you and it would build you up, that your faith would be strengthened from the next 30 minutes that we share together, that this would be a time that is profitable, that you would glean from his word and your strength would be renewed today. It would be built up in faith, and that you would be able to step into the plans that God has for you. That this week that you would be able to walk not in fear, but by faith. That you would know his goodness. I love that scripture in Romans chapter 12, and we've been reading that whole chapter in these last few weeks. If you've been with us, we've been talking about a life to live, one life to live, one life to give. And how we need to live with the constant understanding that this is a gift. Life is a gift, and we've been given it to give. And you know, the absolute truth is that every one of us will die. Every one of us will pass away. It's been that way. It will be that way unless Christ returns for his church and we're caught up, as the scriptures promise, to meet him in the air, that we will face death. But what we do with this life matters. And if we long to live this life in a selfish way, self-seeking, then we will die not fulfilling the purpose that Christ has called us to. But when we live this life to give this life back to him and to live as an example of his love demonstrated to people around us, then our legacy, our life will go on because it's absolutely built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that is eternal. And the faith that we have is eternal. And so we've been talking about this, and we've been talking about being united and being one. And this morning we're going to talk about the motivational gifts. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about seven motivational gifts, and we're going to talk about them. They're certainly involved with, they're a part of the spiritual gifts that Paul talks so clearly about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. He's talking and he says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I want you to understand these principles. I want you to understand these truths. I find that many people are ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts, the motivational gifts, and what Christ has called us to step into. Some people believe some things that are not accurate, in my opinion. They believe that the motivational gifts are there, but the spiritual gifts have stopped. We're going to take some time to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the next coming weeks to talk about the spiritual gifts. As I said, unfortunately, some people believe that these gifts have ceased to operate. And that's why they would be defined as cessationist. Meaning this, that they no longer believe that the spiritual gifts are in operation for the church today. They take a couple scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 But what Paul is saying there is certainly not at a blanket statement that they've all ceased. He says, no, one day we're going to be made perfect. And he's not talking about, they believe, that one day of perfection is when the canon was completed, meaning the 66 books of the Bible have been completed, and that day is their interpretation means perfect. That now we have the perfect law, we have the perfect word of Christ, and I'm not debating that this is the inerrant word of God, but I don't believe that what Paul was talking about. He was saying that one day we're going to be perfect when we see Christ. We're going to see the one who is perfect. And if you read 1 John chapter 3, you'll understand that John's talking about that day of perfection comes when we encounter and we're made complete in Christ. And in that day, certainly in heaven, we will no longer need gifts of healing. We will no longer need prophecy or gifts of knowledge or faith, because in heaven, there will be no need of those things. And so in my interpretation, and I believe it's accurate and correct, is that today is a day of the continuation of the gifts. The continuation that God is pouring out His Spirit, that God is equipping people with the gifts that He's called us to. Because wouldn't it be a sad thing if we believe that Christ has called us and He's equipped us with these things, that when the apostles died, that's what the cessationists believe, is that when the apostles died, that these gifts stopped operating, that they ceased to function. But in no way do I believe that. Do we need gifts of knowledge and understanding and gifts of tongues today? Oh, the church is in desperate need to function by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk into greater detail about that in the coming weeks. But this morning, we're going to spend majority of our time on these motivational gifts, these things that God has given to the church to equip and encourage the church. To equip and encourage the church. Paul talks about a couple things here in Romans chapter 12 that he lands on. It's by the grace given to him. He's talking about that apostolic gift that he's been given, and he's continuing to raise up and call churches in that area, in that region, to rise up and to be the church that is built upon Christ. And so he says, this grace that's been given to me, and then he talks about, and we're going to look at it, the grace that's been given to us. And so the grace that's been given to us to be able to function, and he uses that word a couple times, to be able to function in these ways that he's equipping us so that the church can be one, so that the church can function in such a way that it really begins to be a light and a witness to the world around us. And so it's not this organism that's weak, that has no ability, but the church is mighty and it's powerful. Church meaning with the capital C, the church that Christ said, I'm going to build and I'm going to equip and I'm going to set it out. And it's going to be a church that's going to grow and flourish and function. And so let's start reading in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I love reading this whole chapter. Some people say, well, why would you read the whole chapter? Because his word is powerful. Think of this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, before we read, it says, the word is useful for correction, for teaching, for encouragement, for reproof. I believe that with my whole heart, that his word today wants to give us correction. It wants to encourage us. It wants to teach us and equip us for every good work. And so when we read the word, and that's why I encourage people that if you've consistently joined us, that you would have your Bible open when we read. I understand if you're in a car or something, but if you're sitting in your homes, that you take out, because we're going to look at a couple different places, one in the Gospels and then one in 1 Corinthians, about the one the church being one, because it's Jesus's prayer, and as we function as one, and that's why I think it's so important that you read along with us. So starting in chapter 12, as I said, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's our prayer today. For that by the grace in verse 3 given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the, there's this word, same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the, there's that word, grace, that's given to us. Then it says, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in teaching. The one who exhorts, in exhortation. The one who contributes, with generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave to the wrath to God, for it's written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is truth and that, God, we can step into the freedom that you've promised. And so, God, would you just open our hearts more and more to your word, to your truth? Thank you for, God, we step in to every plan that you have for us, and we trust you today, Jesus. Amen. So think of this. In verse 4, it says, we're members of one body, and we talked about that last week and how all those members don't have the same function. We used that word a couple times in the intro to this teaching. So he says, though we are many in verse 5, we are one body. He reiterates that in Christ. And we're individually members of one another. Think of this. It's the fulfillment. What Paul is calling us to is the fulfillment of what Jesus called us to. It's what Jesus is referred to in John chapter 17 as the high priestly prayer. Now remember this, that Jesus understands that his time of departure is growing very near. And so he, in verse 16, 14, 15, 16, he talks about us and he gives us words that are really, when we remind ourselves that we don't have to live in fear, that we can look ahead with an expectancy and a hope. And then he's not going to leave us as orphans, unprotected, unprovided, but he's going to send us his Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 17, like I said, is the subtitle is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And so what he's doing here is he's praying and he's coming to the Father and he's praying that his word would be manifest. That means the truth would be manifest in a world of deception. He is asking the Father to sanctify them, meaning this, to set us apart by his truth. Remember earlier in chapter in John chapter 8, Jesus makes this emphatic statement when he says, you will know this truth and this truth will set you free. Here he reiterates and he's praying that we would be set apart by truth. In a world like we said, I mentioned last week, where people are asking, what is the truth? Jesus is saying here, sanctify them by your truth. He wants us to function as the body, and the only way that we can do that is by walking in his word, walking in his truth. There's the freedom to live and to move and to have our being. To not just be those that are on the defensive, but to go on the offensive into this kingdom of captivity, the kingdom of darkness, and to take this kingdom of truth, this kingdom of light. And so he declares and he prays that as the Father has loved him, he is loving us. And then he prays that we would know that love and that we would be one in that love. Think of that we would be one with him as he is with the Father. Isn't that what he prayed? Because he understands that when we are one with him, we have been filled with that authority. What he is saying here is that he wants us to be one with him because when we come into agreement with him, we come into authority. Let me just say this, that when you come into the agreement, when you say, in the name of Jesus, I come. A lot of people will just say that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And it almost becomes something of rote or something that we have made a ritual or a pattern. But the significance of that is when we are praying that, we are saying, we want this to be accomplished because we align ourselves with you, Jesus. We align ourselves with your power, with your name. And we come into agreement with that. And by doing so, you come into authority. Don't miss this. When you come into agreement, when you say, I want to be one with what Christ has called me to, you come into authority. So that's why what Paul is saying here is that this issue of unity is not something that is optional for us. We are one with Christ, and we are called to be one with one another. And so that must be with a great level of discernment that we say, I want to be one with Christ and his word and his teaching that fill us with a sense of security, stability, and strength. And when we come into that place, and then we are saying we are one with one another. That's why I'm so at times bothered by churches that are going away from the Word of God being the inerrant Word of God. They're going away from the truth of Jesus being the actual Son of the living God, part of the Trinity. They're going away from these truths. And they invite people to be one with them. I would say to you that you need to be very careful who you align yourself with is in agreement with. That's teaching that's contrary to the Word of God. That we are living in such a climate right now where there is so much deception, as I mentioned earlier, and especially in churches, where they've taken this blanket statement that God is love, and that means one of acceptance of anything. And hear me, his word is very clear. He said, come and follow me. Not that we can acquiesce and say, no, you follow us and you follow this new teaching. So we have to be cognizant, understanding of what we align ourselves with. So Jesus is praying in John chapter 17 that we would be one with him and one with the Father. And then we would come into this place of unity with one another. And that's what Paul's talking about here in chapter 5, or verse 5, that we're one body in Christ. So pray and ask God to give you discernment. The part of his church that you're in, may it be one under the truth of Christ. May it land on Christ completely and fully, and not with all of this absolutely debased teaching about issues of sexuality and gender and all of these things that are bringing nothing but destruction, because they're absolutely dark and it's division. And so we must be very careful that we stay and we say we want to be one body that's built upon the truth of Christ and his word that does not compromise. And so as we do that, we function then. So you cannot function in a body that's built in deception. But you can function in one that's built upon the truth of Jesus Christ, because as we said, there is the freedom of Christ. And he goes on, we're members of this one body and individually members of one another. And then we link up, and then we become this link that becomes powerful and mighty. Jesus said, if two or three come in an agreement, they have authority and they can move mountains. I've witnessed this with people that are a part of his church. And they come into agreement and they say, that's not too difficult. That's not too hard. We can operate in that. We can do that. We can move that mountain. And as we do that, God pours out his blessings, pours out his power, pours out his strength. And so he says, we have gifts that are different according to the grace that's given to us. Verse 3, it was the grace given to him to manifest and to be the apostle that's called and to equip the church. Now he says the grace that's given to us to equip and be a part of this body, to be a functioning body that operates. And so he talks about these seven motivational gifts like we've talked about. So he says this, if by the grace given to us, let us use them. So he says these are gifts, these motivational gifts, and he calls us to use them. So he says we've been each given a gift. And that means something that we did not learn or earn, but it's something that's part of the very makeup of who Christ has created us to be. And so, as I said, he goes into these gifts, and he says there's seven of them, and they're prophecy and encouragement and teaching and helps and mercy and giving, all of these things. And he says they're a part of who God's created you to be. And it comes with such a natural indwelling that it becomes part of a flow of your life, the function of your life. But can we be given gifts and not operate in them? Have you ever given someone a gift and they've never utilized that gift? Last year for my birthday, my son gave me a gift of sockets, a big tool case, and I was using them the last week. I was so thankful for them because I was taking a tire off and I needed a deep well socket, and I found one in that whole array of tools. They were gifts that he gave to me because he knew that I would use them. He could have given his mom a gift of Craftsman sockets, but she would have never used them because she doesn't operate where she needs them. I've never witnessed my wife grabbing a socket wrench and taking off a tire. That's not her giftings. That's not where she operates in. What I'm using as an illustration is saying God knows exactly what we operate in and what we need, and so he wants to give us these gifts. And these gifts are functioning in us. And so They bless that body. They bless that family. So when my wife gets in a vehicle to drive, the tire's not flat. Now, that might seem almost elementary with an example, but it's functioning, isn't it? We can apply that. And so he says this, if it's in a proportion to your faith, prophecy, God's given you a gift to declare the good news, to declare his truth, to declare his promises, then by all means, use it. If service and serving one another. I've met people that love to serve. That's just their natural gifting. They just love to serve. My mom was one of those. She just longed to serve. When I'd go to her house, oh, Todd, I've got everything ready for you. And it was the joy for her. And it wasn't just me. It was so many people encountered her. She had a gift of serving one another. And she didn't look at it like, I have to do this. No, I get to do this. See, that's the gift. I get to do this. I don't have to do this. If in teaching, the one who teaches. God's given some a gift of teaching. Then begin to teach. Look for opportunities to teach. One who encourages or exhorts. I look at the word as encouraging. That's one of the giftings that I know that God's given me. I love to encourage people. If one who contributes with generosity, God's given you a gift to gift, do it. And the body will be blessed. Several years ago, we were trying to haul all these kids to Wednesday night ministries, and they needed rides. And I was using a Pontiac Vibe. Some of you know what that looks like. It's a little car that would seat five people packed in, and we were packing in more than five. And my wife said, you can't keep doing that. So we driving down and toward Minneapolis one day, I saw this bus, and I'm like, the church had a bus for sale. I cast that vision. A guy came up and he says, I want to be a part of that. And so he gave a very large gift. He was operating in his gifting. And so last Wednesday night, kids are worshiping on that bus. The church is being built up. You see how this operates? With one who leads with zeal. You just lead with a determination. You lead with a saying, I know what God's called us to, and I'm going to lead in that way. I have that vision. The one who, it says, with mercy, acts of mercy, you do it with cheerfulness. You just, mercy flows out of you. See, when we operate like this, then what happens is that this love is genuine, Paul goes on to say. And this love contributes, and it seeks. And it's, you're not slothful, you're patient, you're constant. Those are wonderful attributes of the church. But this is for people that know Christ. Maybe today you don't know Christ and you feel like, I need Christ in my life. We're going to pray in a moment. You can experience the power of Christ. Maybe today God is revealing to you that this is your natural giftings, something that he has instructed, he's given you. You have a gift of generosity, then begin to give in that way. A gift of mercy, a gift of leadership, a gift of prophecy, then begin to operate in these gifts because the church will be blessed. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you that you're drawing people and you're speaking to people. Thank you that, God, you're drawing people out of darkness. They felt isolated and alone, but you're drawing them unto your body. Today, would you give, God, people the gift of brokenness and they would experience your love and your forgiveness through repentance and that your spirit would fill them? God, I pray for people today that they just know that they need to be a part of a body that's operating with these gifts. They don't believe that they ever cease to operate. And so today, would you call them? And would you give them that body where they can come and use their giftings to build up that body? And so we bless you today and we thank you that you are moving, Jesus. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new. That leads right to your door. Oh, how I used to roam.
I used to have a wild side. They say a country mile wide. I'd burn those beer joints down. That's all changed now. You turned my life around. Oh, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. I used to love them and leave them. Oh, I'd brag about my freedom, how no one could
where it ends. I will carry you with me. Yeah, yeah. I will see you again. Oh, this is not where it ends. I will carry you with me. Oh, till I see you again. Oh, 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 till I see you again. Till I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, till I see you again. Said goodbye, turned around, and you were gone.
Take a moment, celebrate my age, the ending of an era and the turning of a page. Now it's time to focus in on where I go from here. Lord, have mercy on my next 30 years. Hey, my next 30 years, gonna have some fun. Try to forget about all the crazy things I've done. Maybe now I've conquered all my adolescent fears, and I'll do it better in my next 30 years. My next 30 years, I'm gonna settle all the scores. Cry a little less, laugh a little more. Find a world without the hate and fear. Figure out just what I'm doing here in my next 30 years.
Here we go.
My next 30 years, I'm gonna watch my weight, eat a few more salads and not stay up so late. Drink a little lemonade and not so many beers. Maybe I'll remember my next 30 years. My next 30 years will be the best years of my life. Raise a little family and hang out with my wife. Spend precious moments with the ones that I hold dear. Make up for lost time here in my next 30 years. In my next 30 years. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Oh, here we go, boys.
here I am. I ain't too sure what they want me to do. Clean out my act, I've been thinking about you. Oh baby, here we go one more time. You know it's harder than it looks to walk that line. Yeah, I've been running so damn long. There ain't a woman who can settle me down. Wider than a bat out of hell, off the rails and blazing through town. But then you walk in floating on air, and you look across the room at me. Forget the man I am, what kind of man do you need? Here I stand just north of Oklahoma, trying to wash away my sins. I know damn well what I ought to do. I have to have you, I just can't stand to lose. Oh baby, here we go one more time. You know I love you if you let me till the end of the line. Yeah, I've been running so damn long. There ain't a woman who can settle me down.
She was ready, now she's not so sure. She thought she'd done some living, now she's just wondering what she's living for. Now she's feeling that there's something more. She do what she does. She is fair and time is a friend, but she'd do it the same as she did back then. Oh, she looks out her window, she wonders again, is there life out there? So much she hasn't done.
Got a house down a back road, I got a flag on the front porch, I got a dog named Waylon, I got a driveway that needs paving, I got a boat with a two-stroke, a couple guaranteed to make you laugh jokes, I got friends in low places, yeah, life is what you make it. I might not end up in the Hall of Fame with a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky-tonk. Got a girl named Sheila, she goes bash on tequila, got a job that gets the job done, I got a loan at the bank, it's a big one, the only place you might see my name is on a wall for a good time call, I'm a local legend on a Friday night in a Pabst Blue Ribbon neon light. I might not end up in the Hall of Fame with a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky tonk, I go down. I go down to the honky tonk. I might not end up in the Hall of Fame with a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky tonk. I go down to the honky tonk, I go down to the honky tonk, I go down, I go down to the honky tonk. I go down to the honky tonk, I go down to the honky tonk, I go down, I go down to the honky tonk.
Seen you in forever. Oh, you haven't changed a bit. You didn't think that I'd remember. How could I forget? We sang Bobby McGee on the hood of my car, made a wish on every star in that clear September sky. One bottle of wine and two Dixie cups, 3 a.m. I fell in love for the first time in my life.
just don't happen twice. To this day I still taste that first kiss. How I prayed it wouldn't end. And in a way, seeing you like this, I guess it never really did. And we sang Bobby McGee on the hood of my car, made a wish on every star in that clear September sky. Don't happen twice. One bottle of wine and two Dixie cups, 3 a.m. I fell in love for the first time in my life. Oh, that's something. Just don't happen twice.
She'll set the field on fire just cutting across the pasture. She'll have you falling for it all and then leave right after. And she got a cold heart, but she got a warm smile cut from the same cloth. She kind of buck wild, a little bit angel, whole lot of outlaw. She's trouble, but I tell you right now, y'all long live cowgirls. Never gonna settle on down, girls. Leave you in a lonely ghost town. World where the sun don't rise. Rodeo 419. Love you like a Mustang. Wanting on them giddy up ranks. Holding your heart with some good aim on a goodbye ride. But it's fine, cause it's kind of my thing. Long live cowgirls. Yeah, long live cowgirls.
I hate that I love the way them kisses tastes like whiskey. How they wake up, take on off, and not even miss me. Leave this heart broken, holding that smoking gun. I guess that's just the way them wild horses run. Let them run. Long live cowgirls. Never gonna settle on down, girls. Leave you in a lonely ghost town. World where the sun don't rise. Rodeo 419. Love you like a Mustang. One hand on them giddy up reins. Hole in your heart with some good aim on a goodbye ride. But it's fine, cause it's kind of my thing. Long live cowgirl. Yeah, long live cowgirls. Come on, cowgirls. Don't you wanna take me away? Never gonna settle on down, girls. Leave you in a lonely ghost town. World where the sun don't rise. Rodeo 419. Love you like a Mustang. Warning on them giddy up ranks. Holding your heart with some good aim on a goodbye ride. But it's fine, cause it's kind of my thing. Long live cowgirls. Yeah, long live cowgirls.
Local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
This week on Viewpoints.
3/4 of young people have an emotional support companion chatbot.
What's the allure of opening up to a robot? Then,
on a whim, I picked up a knitting kit at a hobby store.
How knitting helped a young divorcee find renewed purpose and meaning in her life. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.